from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Beautiful event tonight. Vibes are fantastic. Celebrity Care Fest. Larry Richard is holding court right now, making a few announcements. Bill Cower is about 50 feet away from me. The chin. This is amazing. I can also see Mel Blunt in his cowboy hat. And apparently Jerome Bettis is out there somewhere, the bus. This is fantastic. Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan until 8:45 tonight. Pirates baseball on the air at 9:40 from Arizona. Buccos and D-backs get underway. Luis Ortiz on the mound for your Pirates. Right now, we will stick to the Steelers talk. Day two of training camp has wrapped up. We go back out to the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That is where we find a man on the Mount Rushmore of Shaler High School media members, Brian Batko, Steelers insider from the Post-Gazette. Brian, that introduction was courtesy of the man behind the glass tonight in Green Tree, Dom DiTomaso, a fellow Shaler alum. He told me, coming back from break, he said, I'm not kidding, I think Batko is on the Mount Rushmore at Shaler. Your thoughts and your honor.
That's overwhelming to hear. It's humbling. No, why do people always say that? Why do people say it's humbling?
I'm so
when
humble.
Someone else is hyping you up. It's actually the opposite of that. If Dom were like, hey, I've actually never even heard of Batko.
That would be humbling.
A fraud. Yeah, that would be humbling. But no, I appreciate him saying that, especially because I'm someone who still lives in Shaler and still consider myself a proud member of the Titans community. So I hope to see Dom make it big, bigger than me.
I did a football game at Shaler a couple of years ago. I can't remember which year for sure it was. Maybe 2021. It was the homecoming there, which I did not know what a brouhaha the homecoming was at Shaler. Place was shut down left and right. A Saturday afternoon game. Is that typical when?
Yeah, it's always a Saturday afternoon. I think there's only a few Whitfield schools or schools in this area that do their homecoming game on Saturday. So, yeah, for better or worse, it's sort of got a college football pageantry type feel.
Yeah, so it was a Saturday afternoon. Shaler took on Penn Trafford, and, brother, did they get their doors beaten off. Penn Trafford, I think, laid like 60 points on them in that game. So I felt kind of bad.
We got to figure out, is Paul Zeiss on the Mount Rushmore of Penn Trafford alumni in the media?
He is in the Hall of Fame. He is in the Hall of Fame at Penn Trafford. I know that for a fact.
All right. I got to try to check that box off then for myself to try to match Zeiss. He's probably a better athlete at Penn Trafford High School than I was at Shaler.
I was also surprised when I found out that Zeiss was a soccer player. That looks that the way that I see Zeiss, that would be like the last sport that I would see him playing is soccer.
Yeah, that's always a jarring discovery. I got to think Zeiss was a goalie, right? I mean, the presence about him, although he always says he was a lot skinnier back then, so don't picture 2024 Zeiss playing high school soccer. Picture, you know, a thin, in-shape, athletic dude. So maybe he wasn't a goalie. I don't know. We'll have to ask.
I mean, I still think that would make sense because I'm going to assume he's had that height for quite a while. I mean, he's probably about 6'4".
Yeah, big dude, big mitts. So I'm guessing that's what he was doing. But yeah, just to interact with him, you wouldn't think he's somebody who plays the most beautiful game.
Brian, to the Steelers here, Russell Wilson, who I'm sure has said many times in his life how humbling of whatever experience he may come across is, no practice for him for the second consecutive day. I feel like it's silly to even ask this, but I'm going to assume that this calf thing is not very serious.
No, I don't think so, but then there's just some comments made by both him and Mike Tomlin that make you think, is there any more to it? I mean, Russ saying that they have to be super careful with it so that, it doesn't become an issue, and Tomlin saying it's something that they need to manage so that it's not a minor thing that becomes a major thing. So, I mean, any sort of, lingering injury like that for a guy at his age who still relies somewhat on his mobility, I don't think we can completely dismiss it. But yeah, I mean, if you believe him, if you believe the player, he's pretty much fine and he could play right now. I hesitate to believe Tomlin because, geez, Donnie, I mean, there have been many player injury issues in recent years that he hasn't exactly been forthcoming, or at the very least has downplayed things as not being significant when they're more than he lets on.
So Justin Fields got the nod today, so his second day of leading the first team offense. Since I didn't talk to you last night, I was talking to Jeff Hathorn and Mark Cabali, who were also there. Your takeaways from Fields after the first 2 days, maybe how things differed for better or worse from day one to day two?
I think he's been okay. I would hesitate to believe anybody who's over the top and saying he's been great, or anybody who thinks he's been really bad. I mean, there's some flashes here and there, and there's also some wobblers here and there that make you think, okay, that was the inconsistency that plagued him in Chicago, right? I mean, I think that was probably the biggest problem for him with the Bears, and why they ultimately decided to just cash in their chips on that first round pick and move on to the number one pick in Caleb Williams. I think if Justin Fields were more consistent during his time there, he'd had better numbers, they would have won more games, they would have stuck with him. But it's not for a lack of talent. It's not for a complete mental block that you need to write this guy off. So that's what's going to be interesting about his situation. And it's probably a pretty good thing for him in the long run right now that he's getting these opportunities, because I think back to the 2022 training camp and one early obstacle that Kenny Pickett had to overcome as the young guy in the non-pole position car in that race was he wasn't getting many first team reps early in the equation. So at least for Fields, he can get his feet wet and get that chance to show what he's got and maybe try to crack the door open for himself just a little bit if this Wilson thing lingers on too long.
Yeah, do you think, what would Justin Fields have to do to possibly overtake Russell Wilson before we hit week one? I feel like it's near impossible.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he has to play better than he has through 2 days, and it's not even in pads. So, once again, we take this with a grain of salt. He'd probably have to light it up in the preseason. Russ, if I don't know how much he's going to even play in the preseason, especially we're already kind of laying the breadcrumbs down for that we're managing a health thing early in camp and we're going to be super smart and careful and safe. Well, that's going to make it a pretty easy out for not playing him very much in the exhibition. So those are all obstacles stacked against Fields to try to actually win the job out of camp. But I have to assume the realist in him never really thought that was going to be the case. It's more about a win-win opportunity of, hey, if I sit here, bide my time, never really get to play because Russell Wilson's playing great, then maybe I'll get the old Mitch Trubisky bump of people didn't see me for a year, but I learned behind a good quarterback and in a stable, healthy organization, and now my value goes back up. Or if Russ is mediocre to worse, then Justin Fields will get his opportunity anyway because of that.
Yeah, do you think it does Fields pretty good to be sitting behind somebody like Wilson? I mean, he never really got that chance in Chicago. He was kind of just thrown into the fire.
Yeah, and who were the vets in front of him? Even Nick Foles, maybe, and like Andy Dalton was there at one point. So, yeah, I mean, it was, yeah, those were different depth chart situations. I know Nick Foles won a Super Bowl and everything, but, you know, I still think he was a far cry from how the league still views Russell Wilson. I mean, yeah, it's also probably just reflects well on him that Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan in the Steelers organization thought it was worth bringing him in. I mean, I know their track record hasn't been as sterling lately, but I still think they're revered as one of the beacon franchises of the NFL because of their continuity, how good they are year in and year out, not in the postseason, but a model of stability in the regular season. That probably helps him as well. And yeah, I mean, we're going to see what happens when the preseason games get going and how he looks under that spotlight. Right now, the only pressure he's facing is from, several hundred fans in the crowd at St. Vincent. I'm sure it still gets the juices flowing for him, but not exactly like playing a night game at Soldier Field with all eyes on you.
2 weeks from tonight, it has been coming up on us fast, the first Steelers preseason game, Steelers and Texans at Acrisure Stadium. They will be in the midst of action 2 weeks from this very moment because kickoff is right around 7 o'clock. Bob Pompeiani will be on the call for that on KDKA-TV. Pomp is here. He brought over a couple of Icy Light Mangoes for me, Brian, so things very good in our relationship. But nonetheless, how much do you think we will see these guys play in preseason games?
I don't know. I mean, it is coming up fast, but it's 2 weeks is still kind of an eternity in training camp. I mean, it's been 2 days and in Latrobe, and obviously 0 days worked thus far for Russell Wilson. I mean, I think you'd want to see a good bit of it between new quarterbacks, new offensive coordinator, and some other new personnel in there. I mean, you still can't be reckless with how much they play, but I mean, yeah, that's going to be an interesting decision for Mike Tomlin to make as they try to lay the groundwork for this. But also, I mean, again, to go back to the calf thing for Russ at the top, I mean, probably not a big deal, but man, I mean, he got hurt, on the conditioning test day. I don't know if somebody from the new staff overstepped their boundaries with what they're asking guys to do there, or if Russ just went too much gym class hero mode on everybody. Still a weird way to kick off his Steelers career in training camp. And yeah, it makes me wonder, is that sort of setting the foundation for him to not play many snaps in preseason? I sure hope they...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It, you know, give Fields a considerable look, since that might be the last time you see him for a few months, and then I don't think I really need to see much Kyle Allen, given how much NFL experience he has. If anything, I'd rather see the moxie of undrafted quarterback John Rhys Plumlee.
Brian, do you think you could pass the Steelers fitness test?
The old one, yeah. Not what I heard they were doing on Wednesday this year. I mean, it sounds like it was a whole, like, they, you know, kind of four quarters type deal with some running, some sled pushing, some stationary bike. So, yeah, I mean, you bring in a new strength and conditioning staff, and this one coming from the college ranks, where I'm just going to assume you probably push a bunch of 18, 19, 20-year-olds harder than you would highly paid NFL professionals. But, yeah, I mean, that conditioning test on it used to be like 20 minutes, half hour, and out, and nobody really cared about it. And then this year we were waiting around for a really long time for Mike Tomlin, and I guess now we have a better idea of why.
And from my understanding, it was the new strength and conditioning staff and not Mike Tomlin that, you know, kind of pushed this new fitness test.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Tomlin presides over all of it, and I assume check that box, and that's the unit that he hired this offseason to try to shake things up a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, it appears to be, some growing pains, quite literally, with how the Steelers have tried to get out of their normal routine. That's just one of those weird camp stories thus far, and yeah, you just hope that it doesn't go on too long, because I think a lot of people would rather see Russell Wilson and Justin Fields throwing the majority of passes at St. Vincent rather than Fields and Kyle Allen.
Steelers insider Brian Batko, our guest here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. A couple of negative reports about George Pickens so far, Brian. The first 2 days, he had the little spat with Zach Azani. I hear today he's thrown his arms up in disgust because of a Justin Fields decision that was made. Much ado about nothing, or should there be anything noteworthy from either of those?
Probably somewhere in between for me. I mean, I've been plenty critical of Pickens and his immaturity that we've seen the last couple years. I thought it was actually first on display in training camp last year. I mean, griping at officials in practice, which got a little bit ridiculous at times, and just sort of acting like a knucklehead. And, you know, this year, these past 2 days, didn't see what was reported by my beat partner, Ray Fittipaldo, but I certainly don't doubt Ray's accounting of it, and it's not surprising coming from Pickens. As far as today, I mean, showing frustration that a pass didn't get thrown his way, that I'd say is not really a big deal. I mean, I think that's just kind of that could be any receiver on any given down where he feels like he was open. That's just human nature. But we know with Pickens, it has ballooned into more than that at times on the field, and not always the best look for him or the offense around him. I do still think he's he's got to keep his head straight. I've never said a bad word about him as far as the actual talent. I've been very bullish on what he can actually do between the lines as a receiver. I think he can be a true number one in the NFL, but it's just been all the other stuff that I think has been a problem and still could be. I don't know if that's on coaching to try to nurture that, or if that's just his nature. That's an age-old question for people in many walks of life, but it certainly bears monitoring for sure.
Has Van Jefferson been viewed as the wide receiver too?
Yeah, and I think he looked pretty good, actually. I mean, it's only 2 days in shorts, but, I mean, he's looked the part to me. You can kind of see why he was a second-round pick himself back in, what, I think it was 2020. I know people are kind of down on him just because he's not a big name, hasn't done a lot. It seemed like his time as an NFL starter was pretty much winding down, and then there was the school of thought that, he'll ascend because he's got familiarity with Arthur Smith and his offense. That's not how it should be. But no, I think he's actually looked good 2 days in. He's got a decent frame. He pretty much seems like a younger Allen Robinson a little bit to me. And, you know, we'll see if that's able to carry over. To me, it comes back again to not just the quarterback play, but if George Pickens can unlock all the upside that we think he has, he's going to draw a lot of attention from opposing defenses. And we've seen in Pittsburgh up close and personal, when you've got a really good quarterback and you've got an elite wide receiver on one side, it can make some of those wide receiver twos look a lot better than maybe they were in previous stops or where they ended up after the Steelers.
Brian, you have mentioned a couple of times this offseason that Pat Freiermuth will be getting an extension. It seems like that is more and more likely as time goes on here. But last night, trying to kind of speculate what that figure could look like, and I was talking with Mark Cabali, and he also mentioned that your colleague at the Post-Gazette, Ray Fittipaldo, was having a conversation with him. We're thinking somewhere between like 10 and 12, maybe 12.5 million per year at the very most. People on social media, Brian, not very happy about the idea of Freiermuth getting anything in double digits.
That to me is the divide between the vocal people on Twitter versus, you know, the real world. I mean, I think, not that you consider this really for why you would extend a guy or not, but I mean, sometimes maybe it does subliminally factor into decisions. Like, he's a very popular player to me in Pittsburgh. I mean, you just talk to normal Steelers fans, not necessarily the most outspoken online, and I think a lot of people like Pat Freiermuth. He went to Penn State. He said all the right things off the field. He's never caused any drama or distractions when he's not getting the ball. And I think he can still be good, too. I think he can still be productive as long as he stays healthy. That, to me, would be the biggest hurdle that the Steelers and Omar Khan might have to get over while they do these negotiations and choose how much money they want to give him. I still think it'll get done, but obviously the closer you get to camp ending and the regular season starting, that deadline comes into focus, and could run out of time. You never know.
Steelers insider Brian Batko from the Post-Gazette. Brian, thanks for taking the time, brother.
Anytime, Donnie. We'll see you.
There we go. A Shaler Mount Rushmore figure, and likely a Shaler Hall of Famer one day, Brian Batko from the Post-Gazette. Coming up, as always, anytime I get to work with my former intern, Dom DiTommaso, I know he is at no shortage of hot takes, and he has one for us coming up in just a few minutes. We will hear sound from a couple of Steelers once we get past the top of the hour. We will also preview Pirates and Diamondbacks more tonight. First pitch out in Arizona at 9:40. Fan text line, that is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Donnie Football with you tonight. We're at Celebrity Care Fest. Just got to go over and talk to former Steeler Brett Kiesel. He complimented my beard, Dom. That made me feel really good because there was There are very few people in the history of Pittsburgh sports to sport a better beard than that guy. I mean, how many can you think of off the top of your head to have a better beard than Brett Kiesel?
Not many.
Our guy Seth Davis down here, remote producer. We got Claire with us as well. She does a phenomenal job in promotion. Seth went to get us some shots at the open bar here. He already downed his. He didn't want to wait for us, Dom.
Wow, did he really?
Yeah, I think it was – or wait, no, did he pour it into another one? Is this what happened here? Is that what happened here, Seth? Get on that mic, Seth.
Okay, well, you're asking me?
Did you just pour yours into – or you poured hers into another one?
I poured mine into that one because take a sip of it.
Just take a sip?
Just take a sip of it. Yeah, you're not going to do the whole thing. It's very bad.
Uh-oh. Ooh.
Oh. Told you.
Well, we're going to try to do that during the break. That'll be the challenge that we put forth together. Seth labels himself a master of shots. He does not like to drink beer. He normally just down shots. There is video of him out there on Cale Berger's phone of what happened after about a half dozen or more lemon drops. So we will look at that later in the show. Right now, my former intern and now proudly producer here at 93.7 The Fan, Dom DiTomaso, he is back in Green Tree behind the glass. And, Dom, every time we work together, buddy, since I know you are a man full of hot takes, I like to leave it open for you. This can be any category. Does not have to be sports. It can be pop culture. It can be politics if you want. You're kind of walking a slippery slope there.
Oh, no.
But you can go to any realm. It could be history, any realm of things. So, Dom, hit me with your best shot, as our star of the show tonight, Pat Benatar, would proudly say.
All right, Donnie. By the way, quick aside, we were talking about, is Zeiss on the Mount Rushmore of Penn Trafford High School? On the Penn Trafford High School Wikipedia page, you know how they have the notable alumni written?
Yes.
There is one name under the Penn Trafford notable alumni, and that name is Paul Zeiss.
Get out of here.
Swear to God. No joke.
I mean, I don't mean this as a shot at Zeiss, because I'm happy that he is on that list. They really don't have anybody else?
It's just him, dude.
Man, I mean, where I went, Greensburg-Salem, there's at least a couple that I would think that would count as notable alums. One of them quickly making his moves up the college football coaching ranks. I don't know if you're familiar, Dom, with Brennan Marion. He was the Pitt wide receiver coach the year that Jordan Addison won the Biletnikoff Award. He is now at Texas, or he was at Texas. He may have moved on to somewhere else as an offensive coordinator now, but he's moving up the ranks pretty quickly. He is a Greensburg-Salem alum. The Jones family of wrestlers, they were all national champions at WVU. And all state champions at Greensburg-Salem, so maybe they're on that list. So it's not like there is a huge list coming from my alma mater, but you're telling me that Zeiss is the only guy from Penn Trafford.
The only name on the Wikipedia page who they consider notable alumni. Yep.
Huh.
Yep.
Well, one day, Dom, we will be looking up Shaler High School, and we will see Dom DiTomaso right next to Brian Batko.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I think we'll be looking at.
Yeah. Well, speaking of college football, Donnie, I'm sure you saw this. I'm sure everybody saw this because it was all over social media. But here's my take for you. Kirby Smart should be suspended for the entire 2024 college football season.
The entire season?
The entire season, and I'll tell you why. And I think when I'm done telling you why, you'll agree with me, okay?
Go ahead.
So, last night, overnight, Georgia wide receiver Ra-Ra Thomas was arrested on two counts of battery and one count of cruelty to children, which is his second arrest since 2023. Which means, under Kirby Smart at Georgia, there have now been 47 incidents of reckless driving and DUIs, 24 of which have come since two of their players died in a car crash earlier this year, which adds up to 20 arrests, actually over 20 arrests, for a Georgia player in the last 2 years, all under Kirby Smart. Now, tell me if I'm wrong here, Donnie. I would say Kirby Smart is the biggest coach in terms of just name and brand power since Nick Saban retired. His team is in the middle of a dynasty right now. They're on national TV every week, and this is how his team is representing themselves in the offseason. I'm sure parents of recruits aren't going to love this because it's, I mean, every other week a Georgia player is getting arrested, and I don't think anything is going to happen to Kirby Smart. I don't know if it would come from the university. I don't know if it would come from the NCAA, but at some point it gets ridiculous. It's almost like what happened with Urban Meyer at Florida, where 31 Gators were arrested under Urban Meyer's tenure. We're starting to get in that territory, and I know that he's probably untouchable down in Georgia. He's probably one of the most powerful men in the state, but, I mean, this is just getting out of hand. And if I'm the NCAA, I would say enough is enough. We're going to show everybody we're not going to take this, and you're out for the entire season.
Yeah, I mean, those are some very bad numbers. I didn't even realize it was quite that high, the amount, because you hear about, like, the big ones and, unfortunately, the tragic ones with Georgia. And I think your point there to say that he's one of the most powerful men in that state, I think that's true. I mean, I would wager that he is more powerful than anybody in public office in the state of Florida. Because, as we know, Dom, and we hear it all the time, it gets beaten into our brains. In the SEC, it's just different. That's what they always like to say. It is just different in the SEC. If you are a successful football coach in the SEC, you are looked at as a god. And I'm not saying it's just in that conference, because we have examples of that everywhere. But I'm sure that Kirby Smart, given what he has accomplished at Georgia, he is viewed in very, very high regard. Now, here's something else I want to chew on there with you for a little bit. The thing about you bring up, parents shouldn't be happy to send their sons there, and they should they should be wary of recruiting. The thing is, that has not seemed to hurt them to this point, oddly enough. So it's almost as if the players are convincing their parents that this is the best opportunity for them, or the parents aren't really worried about what the what happens with Georgia football players off the field. Because, you know, sometimes parents, and, you know, I'm not a parent, so I'm not going to act like I would know any better, but maybe just trying to put themselves in the mindset, a naive one at that, maybe they're thinking, well, it happens to some other kids, but it won't happen to mine. Like, that kind of mindset. And we're talking about some sad and tragic things. I mean, there have been players that have died due to some of these issues. However, it hasn't seemed to hurt their recruiting yet. I mean, I may be wrong, but they just keep pulling in great class after great class after great class. And now I would think, Dom, it's going to be even better with Nick Saban out of the picture at Alabama.
Yeah, so that car crash that killed a couple players was in January of this year. So in the 6 months since then, it's been 24 incidents of reckless driving or DUI. So that means that it's kind of been happening more recently than the past few years. I mean, I would think it would, if it keeps up at the rate that it's going, it will affect recruiting at some point. But maybe you're right. Maybe the allure of Georgia football will blind people. I mean, I don't know. It's a tough situation, because he's obviously a great coach. And if you go there, you're probably going to be in the playoff and have a great chance of going to the NFL. If you have the talent, and if you're getting recruited to Georgia, you probably do. But, I mean, Urban Meyer didn't. He had no trouble recruiting players to Florida and then Ohio State. So, I mean, maybe you're right, but at some point, I mean, it's getting, I mean, almost unreal. Every other week, there's a report of a Georgia player getting in trouble at some level.
So you said 24 since basically the new year, since January.
Yeah, that's the number I got.
Okay, and we are now in the seventh month of the year, and it was late January, you said, since that that number started to get tallied, the 24, that is. So we're about 6 months later. That tells you on average there are four incidents per month, and that also would tell you on average there's about one incident per week, with 4 weeks being in a month. But, yeah, I mean, again, the sad thing there to point out is that it seems to not be a huge factor as long as you win. As long as you are a coach that goes somewhere and wins, that doesn't seem to matter. The stuff outside of football, off the field, does not seem to matter. All that matters is that you win, because Urban Meyer had plenty of issues with his team off the field, and he pretty much took himself out. Now, I've always thought with Urban Meyer it was very shady, both at Florida and Ohio State, because things, maybe he starts to catch wind that things are going a little bit south with how he's perceived and what may be coming down the pike in terms of violations or any sort of punishment being handed down, and he pulls up the back issue card.
Right.
He backed out of two, or I wouldn't say backed out, but he stepped away from two prominent head coaching positions because of the whole back issues thing at Florida and then at Ohio State. And I actually had this discussion, it might have been with you a couple of weeks ago, Dom.
Yeah.
That we think one day Urban Meyer could very well be right back into coaching college football. I think he very well could be. He still has plenty of years. It's not like he is into his 70s or anything like that. It's just kind of the sad nature of how things are viewed. Like, if you win, and you win a lot, and you win championships, it's almost like what happens off the field doesn't matter. As sad as that is to say, situations like this, other issues that have gone on at other programs, if a coach is outed, it has to be like something completely on another level. And it's hard for me to say that in the same sentence when, a couple of these have resulted in death. But all I can really think of is the situation at Penn State as a comparison with Joe Paterno. Because, I mean, you go no further than Joe Paul when you talk about legendary figures at his position in the sport. I mean, he's one of the most prominent and well-known head coaches in college football history. There's no denying of that. I mean, and you want to talk about somebody viewed as a god. I have a quick aside here about him. I had a teacher in high school, Dom, who attended Penn State, and they would often, he was a runner. He would, go for runs and jogs around campus. Joe Paul once hit him with his car.
What?
And the guy that I had as a teacher apologized to Joe Paul for being in his way.
Oh my God!
That is the way that he was viewed at that school. But all I can think of when it actually did result in a major punishment being handed down, everything that happened there. But that was something to a level that was so egregious. It was much more than just DUIs and traffic violations, and again, tragically and sadly, a couple of deaths. But given that situation, it was, that's completely on another level. And that's what it took to get a prominent figure in the sport out of his position. And if you remember, too, I know that you were, you're like over 5 years younger than I am. You're not even 21 yet. You'll be 21 in about a month. So you're almost a decade younger than me. I know you were younger when all of that stuff was going down. There was a ton of backlash against the university and against the NCAA for making the decision to basically push Joe Paterno out of that job, if you remember.
Right.
So, again, something else to consider. Just if you win and you are successful, people don't care about what happens off that field. If you bring a program national championships or conference championships or more amount of money than you can ever imagine, people don't seem to care what happens off the field, as sad as that is.
Yeah. So you don't think that, I mean, I was surprised by how many people, and I get that social media is not real life, but it can sometimes be a good barometer for stuff. I was surprised by how many people were saying Kirby Smart should have to answer for this in some way, shape, or form. I'm with you. I don't think anything is going to happen to him. Would you agree?
Yeah, I ultimately don't think anything would happen. I mean, and I think at most it will be something very minimal, like a slap on the wrist type assessment. Like it'll be, I don't know, two games or four games or whatever. Mm-hmm. The NCAA cares more if the actual integrity of the game is questioned more than any sort of activity that happens off the field. I mean, I think Jim Harbaugh last year, a good example. I mean, not that he got crushed for an entire season, but think about what he had to go through just last year with Michigan, and that was all because the integrity of the game got taken into question with what was going on at Michigan. It really didn't have anything to do with any activity off the field. I mean, the Wolverines as a football team could have been Saints. You know, they could have had 100 guys on that team all ready to enter the sainthood. But, you know, they had some guy go out there and film other teams, and Jim Harbaugh got punished for it. Now his team still ended up winning a national title, so who got the last laugh? And now he is into the National Football League again. But I think that's another good example to look at there. Like, the integrity of the game got taken into question with what Michigan did, and it had nothing to do with off the field. I don't think Kirby Smart, given the 30-plus vehicular issues, we could say, that Georgia has had over the last couple of years and a case or two resulting in tragedy, I think he would get the bare minimum. I think at most they would look at like 2 to 4 games. And you know that those will be games against pretty much nobody opponents. I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but I'll pull it up here quickly, Dom, what the Georgia football schedule is. Because I think it'll be similar to last season, like what we saw Jim Harbaugh go through, at least early on, where the teams they were playing early were pretty much viewed as jokes. Now that I have it pulled up, it's not necessarily the case with Georgia. I don't know if you have it in front of you. If he would get hit with something, that is, let's say, 4 games. So the first game, they play Clemson. It's a neutral site. The second game is, they're going to win by 70 points. They're playing Tennessee Tech. Then they go to Kentucky, so they're on the road, and then they're at Alabama in that fourth game. So it's not necessarily a cupcake first month of the season for Georgia like it was for Michigan last season. But have you seen really anything out there to indicate that he will get any sort of discipline handed down?
No, it's mostly just people saying that they should consider it, but I don't think he's going to get anything. Which, I don't. It just, like, there's a culture issue here when you have this many players getting arrested and recklessly driving. Like, there's an issue here.
Yeah, there absolutely is. There absolutely is. I mean, and I could absolutely say that at other levels of football, say if that was happening where I went, if that happened at Waynesburg, if there was just an outpour of, vehicular violence basically off the field, then any coach would be in trouble. It just so happens that Kirby Smart, in his situation, the guy has won national championships and he's done so out of the Southeastern Conference, so it's looked at as a much different type thing. I mean, there were cases. I mean, I'm not going to throw names around, but there were cases where, the coach's position at Waynesburg for whatever sport, if the school found that somebody on the team was drinking in the dorm or drinking underage, that coach got taken, into at least some question. There was at least a meeting held or something that happened. I don't know if Kirby Smart is even getting put into situations like that, because you would think we should be at the point where the university's at least like, hey, like, you know, nothing's probably going to be handed down here, but we should have a meeting with this guy nonetheless.
Right, and I'm with you. If they have been like an average team the past 5 years, where they're winning 6, 7, 8 games, I think it would be a no-brainer that something would happen to him. But the fact
I think he would just get fired.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I mean, because I think they would just be able to compound that with the performance, and they would just justifiably fire him. They would say, listen, this isn't up to our standards. We're only winning 5 or 6 or 7 games, and you also have all of these off-the-field issues. I think if that was the case, if that's all they were winning, 6 or 7 games, I don't think Kirby Smart would be coaching at Georgia. They would be on to somebody else.
Yeah, you're probably right. Probably right, but, man, I mean, it is – I mean, every other week, Donnie, there's a story, and it's almost, like, laughable in a sad way, because it's just – it's ridiculous at this point.
Yeah, it's really not a pretty scene, like, with what is happening there. I mean, if you ask me – I don't know if I'd go as far as you to say full season suspension. Now, that would be certainly making a statement. That would be the NCAA making a statement doing
that.
What
are you going to go for?
But I think that they should be in for a couple of games and maybe 4, because, hey, if he misses that Alabama game, and I know Nick Saban's not there anymore, but let's say that Georgia loses that game and Kirby Smart's not on the sideline, that sends a message.
I think that
sends a message as much as anything. I mean, because if they just say, okay, well, 4 games, and you're going to miss Alabama, and let's say they lose that game, that already puts them behind the 8-ball a little bit. I know that it's a 12-team playoff now, but, I mean, maybe something crazy. Maybe they lose at Kentucky, too.
They have to play Texas this year?
Do they play Texas?
Yeah, later in the season. So, like, if they...
They do. They're at Texas in the middle of October.
Right, so if they lose early, if he's out... You don't have an easy schedule the rest of the way, and like you said, more teams, but that's also kind of misleading because of conference champions and all that. I don't know. It would send a message. Loud and clear.
Yeah. I don't know if we'd be in for a full season. That would be stunning. But I like that one, Dom. I mean, I think you have a lot of legs to it. It's just something that, sadly, I can't see the NCAA doing, because Georgia doing themselves, like an in-house suspension, because the guy wins.
Do you think they're the best team in college football next year?
I think Ohio State's actually right there with them. Yeah. I think Ryan Day is somebody under a lot of pressure, because it seems like for the first time in a while, maybe since that team about a decade ago that won that first college football playoff, they seem to have their most talented team since then, so in about 10 years. And, I mean, think at Ohio State, that's saying something. Plus, Chip Kelly's their offensive coordinator. I don't even think people are thinking about that necessarily. They have a guy that coached in the NFL at the highest level, and he was also a prominent college head coach. He took a demotion to go to Ohio State and be the OC. So I think there's a lot of pressure there in Columbus for them to win big in 2024.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Ohio State's the best team. I also think Ryan Day might be the most underappreciated guy in sports right now, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, the fact that there are a significant amount of people thinking he's on the hot seat next year is, I guess, part of the reason why he's at Ohio State and kind of the pressure that comes with that job. But that's just ridiculous, man. I think he's the second best coach in the sport.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is pressure, and I actually think it's justified. Now, here's where I'll go with that. I think it's in large part because the last 3 seasons they've kind of gotten bullied by Michigan in that game. Now, I know before that it was largely in Ohio State's favor, but a lot of that credit actually goes to our pal Urban Meyer. He dominated Michigan every single time they played.
Mm-hmm.
The last 3 years, Michigan bullied Ohio State, to be honest,
right.
I thought, in all 3 of those matchups. Now, that's the thing. In Columbus, it can turn that quickly. Like, if he beats up on Michigan this year, they go undefeated, they get into the playoff, I think all of that is pretty much off the table.
Well, and you also have to remember, so 2 years ago, they made the playoff, and they almost beat Georgia, and it took a missed field goal that probably should have been made for them to lose that game. And last year, they barely lost to Michigan, and I thought they should have made the playoff, and I thought they were the best team in the sport last year, but it was a four-team playoff, so they never got to prove themselves in the postseason.
Yeah, the game against Georgia is a good one to bring up, because then we know what Georgia did in the national title game. Mm-hmm. Ohio State's the only team that even touched them.
Right.
They were the only team that had them on the ropes, and like you said, that was a shanked field goal at the end, the arguments there they should have won.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, Dom. That was some very. We could have played the college football music the whole way through that. That was some good college football discussion. We've kind of starkied the clock here.
Yeah, that's my bad. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right, Dom. We'll just double up. We'll just work with the breaks here a little bit. Coming up, we will take a listen to what some Steelers had to say this afternoon after practice at St. Vincent College. We'll also quickly take a look at some local athletes taking part in the summer games out in Paris. So that is all coming up in just a little bit. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Also, before we finish up tonight, we will preview Pirates and Diamondbacks a little bit more, leading into Dan Zangrilli, who has the North Shore Tavern leadoff show at 8:45. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. It's the Chevy Summer Drive, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Clear and cool tonight. Pretty comfy out right now. We are at Celebrity Care Fest out in Gibsonia. Low of 67. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.